We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Show, where I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be featuring an interview with a daughter of someone whose work is being featured at the Karach Gallery at the JCC. The exhibit is called Fabric of Survival, The Art of Esther Nissenthal Krinitz. And we're going to be talking with her daughter, Bernice Steinhardt. It's a fascinating story, and we'll talk about that coming up really soon. The portion of the week is the portion of Matas Masai, which can be found in the Book of Numbers, chapter 30, all the way to the end. This is the 3 weeks. We will be playing a cappella music for the next three shows, and we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. We have an awesome story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Three Palestinian terrorists killed two Israeli policemen as they left Ramadan services on the Temple Mount. The three fled back to the mosque complex but were killed by Israeli border guards. Two terrorists were killed and another two wounded following an attack on IDF soldiers in Jenin. The soldiers were on patrol and were not hurt. The Israeli Electric Company signed an agreement with the Palestinian Authority to build a secondary electric plant in Jenin. The 60-megawatt plant will be guaranteed by Palestinian backers. Let's see how that goes. Here's a little twist of something over here. The Egyptian government approved a $22 million plan to restore the 160-year-old Eliyahu HaNavi Synagogue in Alexandria. The synagogue was forced to close several months ago after part of its ceiling fell down. 50 Jews currently live in Egypt. Shari Tzedek Synagogue-related news. The third oldest Jewish congregation in New York City is partnering with a developer to turn its 137-year-old building on Manhattan's Upper West Side into condos. The synagogue announced that it could not stay solvent without the partnership. Shari Tzedek is a conservative synagogue. And finally, Israel is in the middle of the second week of a heat wave. Temps are in the high 90s and low 100s all across the country. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program. Running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Ms. Bernice Steinhardt, whose mother, Esther Krinitz's work is on, will be on display on exhibit coming up next week at the Karach Gallery at the JCC. How are you today, Bernice?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I am looking at the brochure and am really amazed. If you could give us some of the backstory about your mother's work, please.
My mother was not trained as an artist. She was trained as a child. She was trained as a seamstress. She worked apprenticed to a dressmaker. But my mother, unlike many other Holocaust survivors, always talked about her experiences, her life before the war, and her experiences as a young girl during the war.
What city did she grow up in?
She grew up in a little village called Mniszek, in the center of Poland, near the closest town is called Anapol today. It was, though, a majority Jewish town when she grew up, and it was called Rachow then.
Okay.
And she, when the war started in September 1939, the Germans invaded Poland and came straight to her village and occupied it for 3 years until October 1942, when they ordered all the Jews from that region to report to a nearby train station. But my mother refused to go. She thought that she might be able to find work with a Polish farmer and survive that way.
How old was she at that time?
She was 15.
Uh-huh.
And so she took her next youngest sister, Manya, who was 13 at the time, and the two of them said goodbye to their families, and they never saw them again. So they survived. My mother made up these identities for them as Polish Catholic farm girls who had been separated as from their families. She remembered the name of the town across the river that her father had talked about. And so they came to a village finally where no one knew them. And in this particular village, they didn't ask my mother and aunt for papers. And so they found work there and lived with families there until 1944, when the Soviet army was moving westward and liberated the village. So for 2 years, from 42 to 44, my mother and my aunt lived this life in hiding, more or less. And so these stories of her life, which were incredibly adventurous in a sense to me, and also sad but uplifting, these were stories that my sister and I heard all throughout our lives. I can't remember a time when I didn't know my mother's stories, in fact. She was a really great storyteller. But when she was about 50, she decided that she wanted my sister and me to see what her home and her family looked like.
Uh-huh. Let me just interject if I can, yeah. Bernice. So 1944, sure. the war is over in 45, 46. I'm assuming she wound up in a displaced persons camp somewhere in Germany or France and then made her way to the United States?
Yeah. In 45, she and my aunt went to a DP camp, a displaced persons camp in Germany. And that's where she met my father, and my aunt met her husband, and my parents came to the United States. They stopped in Belgium, though, before they came to the U.S., while they were waiting for their visas, and that's where I was born. And 20 months later, when I was 20 months old, mm-hmm. we came to New York, where my father had some relatives.
Where did your aunt settle?
She went first to Israel, she and my uncle. But they came to the U.S. in 1960. So, and then they lived two doors away from us in our apartment building. So my mother and my aunt remained close physically, emotionally for all of their lives.
That's a good thing. So your mother was 50 years old. That's going to put us around 1970-ish. She started
in the late 70s. Yes. Good math skills there.
Yes. First thing in the morning, too.
I'm impressed.
Okay, so she decided that her way of conveying, since she was familiar with textiles, I mean, there's a big difference between being a seamstress and doing needlepoint and embroidery and these things. But so did she explain, or did you know? I mean, you're already full grown. You're at this point when she started her things. And did she explain why she was doing it specifically in this method?
Well, before she did her first of these memory pictures. She always was doing some kind of needlework, whether it was needlepoint or knitting or crocheting or embroidery. She was doing a lot of embroidery. And she started doing just pictures of her own design, but they were flowers and decorative things like that. And then she started talking about doing something more tied to her memories. And my sister and I were very encouraging. So I think in part because of our encouragement and in part because of her own inner desires, she took a very large piece of fabric and sort of roughly sketched out her house and her neighbor's house. But then she filled it in with stitches. That's really where the picture elements came in with her needlework. And this is the first picture that visitors will see when they come to the exhibit of her house and her family. And my mother is carrying water up the hill from the river, and her sister is waiting there at the top of the hill to greet her. And her younger sisters and brother are there, and her parents. And it's a beautiful folk-like picture, folk art picture. And she was very pleased with it, and she gave that to me, and then she made a companion piece for my sister, the view from the other side of the road, where she and her brother and are swimming in the river and the cows are grazing. It's beautiful, really colorful and very evocative of that time and place in the world. And she gave that one to my sister, and then she kind of set aside those memory pictures for a while. But then about 10 years later, so she was now about 60, she went back to these memory pictures and she started what eventually became a series of 36 pictures altogether. And this time she started adding stitched narrative captions to tell a story. And once she started telling her story, which began with her leave-taking from her family and the departure of the Jews from Rahov on their way to the train station. When she started that, she continued until the end of her life.
Okay, and so there's 36 in total. How big is each one, would you say, approximately?
They vary in size. The largest is about 4 feet by 4 feet. The smallest is about 2 feet by 2 feet. I would say most of the pictures are, say, 2 by 3 feet. So they're large-scale pictures. And they're brilliantly colored. They're very beautiful pictures. And so they draw you in because of this visual beauty. And then once you're in, then you realize that what you're looking at in many cases is a scene of great sadness or terror, but that describes the life that she saw, what she saw. And what she saw during that time of occupation was both the beauty and the brutality of the world around her.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that she was doing this more than a legacy? It was sort of like therapy on her part, getting it like out of her system?
That's a very good question. You know, my mother always told these stories. So these were memories that were always living and being refreshed, you might say. But once she started depicting them in this way, and stitching itself is kind of a therapeutic activity, I think it really helped her to express the feelings that that these memories evoked. She could describe what happened in words, but in her pictures, she could communicate the feelings that she was experiencing. And that's, of course, what makes them art.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, if you're just joining us today, our guest is Bernice Steinhardt. Her mother, who I'm assuming is of blessed memory, is...
Yes.
How long ago did she pass away?
In 2001, so quite a while ago. Well,
already. So her mother, Esther Krinitz, work is being featured at the Karach Gallery. It's coming up. The opening is July the 16th, which is coming up Sunday. And there's a film which is associated with this. This is very intriguing, that Sunday at noon at the Berman, there, which is attached to the JCC, they will be featuring Through the Eye of a Needle, The Art of Esther Nissenthal Krinitz. Tell us about the making of the film.
Well, I guess the origins of the film go back to while my mother was still living. When I started trying to get my mother's work out into the world, you know, she created her work just for me and my sister. She never had any thought that it would go beyond our homes. But it was clear after she was producing these pictures, and she would give them to me afterward because I lived near her. And it was clear that what she was doing really deserved an audience beyond the people who could see it in my house. And during that time that I was trying to get the pictures out into the world, they came to the attention through someone I had met. They came to the attention of Lawrence Kasdan, the filmmaker, who at that time had a production deal with Disney Films and wanted to make a movie, a feature film about my mother. And so he came to Washington, where I live, and where close to where my mother was living at the time, and spent several days interviewing her as research for the film. And then he wrote a script, but it never got that film never got made. So he gave us all the video interviews with my mother to use in whatever way we wanted. So once we had all this video of my mother, we had this opportunity to have her tell her story visually in film. And so we spent some amount of time working on getting a film made. And the result is the film that will be shown on Sunday. It's a 30-minute, beautiful, very beautiful documentary, which features interview footage with my mother, as well as some interviews with my sister and me and expert commentators. And of course, beautiful images of the artwork. But in the film, my mother tells her own story, which she does in a very compelling way. But it's also about how my mother came to make her pictures. So it's my mother's story and the story of my mother, in a sense. And it's a very beautiful film, as I said, and also one that we've shown to widely disparate audiences, including to children, I would say from fourth grade on up. And it makes for a very rich and an interesting, I think, introduction to that period in history, to the Holocaust. But it also, I think, celebrates in a way the human spirit, and that the kind of courage and determination that people find in themselves in times of war and worse.
Okay. Again, if you're just joining us, our guest today is Bernice Steinhardt, her mother, Esther Nissenthal Krinitz. His work will be on display at the Karach Gallery in the JCC from July 16th to September 19th. There have been, in the last couple of years, works of art that have surfaced. We had, a couple of years ago, an artist by the name of Mayor July. He passed away, actually, like 3 weeks after we interviewed him. And he was painting, like, shtetl scenes and things that he remembered from Europe. And a couple of weeks ago, we had on a person whose great-grandfather was an artist in Warsaw. How do you think about that now that the survivors of the Shoah, of the Holocaust, are thinning out and getting less and less, the importance of having things like painted works and your mother's needlework, Bernice?
Very good question. I think this is a legacy of a time and a culture, a society that perished nearly in its entirety, and it's only through the children and grandchildren now of the people who survived this time that we stay connected to a civilization that once was. I actually know well Elizabeth Reinecke and Barbara Kirschenblatt Kimblett, Barbara being the daughter of Meyer July, and Elizabeth, the great-granddaughter. And we feel a great kinship with one another because of our efforts to bring our father and mother, our ancestors' works out into the world, because these are the people who experienced this are not here to tell their stories, and their stories are so important. When I was growing up, I was always amazed. I had to stop and reflect on the fact that these stories that my mother was telling me happened to her, that this happened only a short period of time before my own time, before I was born. And it's, I think, incredibly important to share that story with people who know very little of that history, but who are still subject to the same kinds of forces that are still present in the world, and to remind ourselves that these things can happen and can, but should not be allowed to happen again.
Understood. Do you think, and this is going into your level of prophecy or clairvoyance, predicting the future, you had a direct relationship with your mom, the daughter of Mayor July had a direct relationship with her father, and Elizabeth had a relationship, she remembers her grandfather with these paintings. What about your children and your grandchildren? Do you think that they'll think the importance of displaying and getting these works out, Bernice?
Absolutely. My children, well, my sister and I in 2003 created an organization, a nonprofit organization, Art and Remembrance, to share our mother's legacy. And from the outset, my daughter was and is on the board of the organization. My son is active with the organization. This is something that is in their DNA. It is a part of the fabric of their personalities and consciousness, because they knew my parents so well, and my parents' experiences resonated with them as it did with me, and I think it influenced the kinds of people that they became. The role that social justice, the values that they have, and the role that social justice plays in their lives. This is something that will live on, certainly with them, and I hope with their children as well.
Okay, so you started this foundation. It's already almost 15 years ago. I'm assuming then that your mother's works are well-traveled?
Yes, actually, the exhibit that's on display at the gallery has been to probably 20 museums around the United States. In fact, you know, this is the return visit to Detroit for the exhibit. It was there exactly 10 years ago for the first time. So we were very thrilled at the invitation to return. But it's been in California and in the South and the West and the East. It's been all over the country. But we also have an exhibit of very, very high quality photographic images that we created specifically to travel to small museums and smaller JCCs that can't accommodate the original artwork. So that exhibit actually has been to Canada and to Poland. That was an amazing experience, seeing the works exhibited in Poland and traveling to these small towns and cities in the region of Poland that my mother came from. And there, that my mother's art and story is filling in gaps in the history of those places that vanished once the Jews were gone. So it's traveled to altogether to about 40 different museums and institutions around the world now.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Are you going to be here Sunday, July 16th, that's this afternoon, at noon for the opening?
No, unfortunately, I won't be there. But visitors can hear, we have an audio tour that's available, and my sister and I each narrate portions of that tour to give viewers a sense of our own reactions and responses to the pictures. So I would encourage people to take advantage of that if they can.
Wonderful. We're going to have to wrap it up now. But our guest today has been Bernie Steinert. Her mother's work, The Fabric of Survival, The Art of Esther Nissenthal Krinitz, is now on display from Sunday this afternoon. At noon, they'll be showing a film at the Berman. So while you're listening to the show, you can hop in the car. And just as the show ends, the film will be starting to play at the Berman. That's at the Maple Drake JCC. The show will be going until September the 19th. And this is free of charge. It's inside the JCC. And Bernice, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this insight. This has been really wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really appreciated the chance to be with you.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Yeah, so I would say just hop in the car and say, maybe about now, and make your way over to the JCC. You can hear the conclusion with the Hasidic story while you're sitting in the parking lot, and then make it into the Berman for the movie about The Fabric of Survival, The Making of the Art of Esther Nissenthal Krinitz. I might even try and get over there. A little harder for me, though. But, okay, we have up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Ari Goldwag. The song is titled Yeder V'Haflarecho, which means every one of your neighbors you should love. It's a cappella. We are in the 3 weeks, as they are called in English, the Beina Metzorim, the time between the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, which is marked as a downtime for Jews as the temples were in Jerusalem were attacked and destroyed during this time. And so therefore we refrain from listening to instrumental music. That's why we play a cappella. People don't get married, don't cut their hair, don't eat fruit, which they haven't had in a year. Do not decorate their houses, and don't buy new clothes during this time. So for your listening pleasure, this is Ari Goldwag.
vertrogen sich jeder in der da wind in beten wart far machia er will schon kommen er wart auf dir in mir hoy ve yo avto ay vi yo avto le le yacho ay vi avto le yacho como hijo מחכים למשיח הוא רק יגיע כשכולנו חברים כולנו מתפללים ומחכים למשיח כבר רוצה להגיע הוא מחכה לחבליה Wishing, praying for Moshiach. It will only happen when we all get along. Everyone's waiting for wishing, praying for Moshiach. Let's love one another and break forth in song. Break out in song.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We are continuing with our musical interlude here at The Jewish Hour. The group up next is Shevis Chaverim, which either means one of two things. It means friends sitting around or seven friends, depending on how you emphasize the word. But it's a group of people, and they're singing a song called Shabbos, the Sabbath.
You told me you're a cop, you do see me, you says me, I've been a sea going.
Shabbos Chaverim and Shabbos. We've got time now for this minute for a PSA. Jewish Ferndale presents Rejuvenation Women's Only Day Camp starting tomorrow and Tuesday and Thursday. Monday, July 17th from 10:30 till 1:30, Enhancing Relationships with Esther Gendelman, Garden Skills with Hannah Finman, actually Garden Skills with Carly Sugar, and Design Workshop with Hannah Finman. Tuesday is from 1 to 4. That's Creative Writing with Gabby Drissman, Cooking Demo with Susanna Klein, and Exercise Class with Sharon Green. Thursday night is a Kumsitz. It's $50 for the whole thing. There's discounts available if you can be only part of it. For more information, go to www.jewishferndale or call Hannah Finman at 798-3579. It's, of course, a 24 area code. Child care is provided at additional cost. And that's Rejuvenation Women's Only Day Camp. Is your organization having some sort of a something that you feel would be worthy of publicizing here for nothing, meaning for no cost? Well, send it to www.rabbifinman.com. Send us the information, and we will send it right out. We'll just announce it to you. We love doing it. We've been doing it for 21 years plus. It's one of the things we're doing. Up next, this is a very new group. In fact, how new is it that this movie video for this one was the music video for this one was released on July 14th, so it's 2 days old. This is the first thing they've done. The group is called FDD, and I couldn't find any history as to why they call their group FDD. It's an Israeli group, and this is a Shabbos medley, meaning a bunch of Shabbos songs that have been all chopped in, spliced together. So I hope you enjoy it.
Segula boi, boi kala, boi kala, boi kala, boi kala, boi kala. Boy,
להתענג מתענוגים
ממבורים וסלב ודגים
שיר המלות בשוב המוני את שיר הציון היינו כחולמים אז עם מלא שחוק פינו ולשוננו רינה
אז יום ובדו אם יגדיל המון אי לעשות עם אלה
יגדיל המון אי לעשות עמנו היינו שמחים
יעמוד החתך, חתן השמחה מפתיר חזק
חזק, מפתיר חזק, מפתיר חזק
יעמוד אפתח ולא אפחה כי עוזי וזמרת ידוני ויהי לי לישועה.
Why go to a hospital? Get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finner here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of this week is Matos Masai. It's a double portion. It can be found in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 30, and going all the way to the end. The portion of Matos, which is the first part of the double portion, is always read during the 3 weeks. Matos Masai and Devarim are always read during the 3 weeks. Sometime, like in this year, Pinchas is read most times. Sometimes Pinchas comes the week before, and Matos and Masai are separated. And it has to do more with the what day of the week Tisha B'Av falls out than it does if it's a leap year or not. We need the extra weeks. But I'm not exactly sure. And if anybody does know, they can respond to me at rabbifinman.com and clue me in, save me a little research. The portion of Matos, one of the major features, the first part talks about vows. And vows are significant now because we're in this time period when we're in a state of quasi-mourning because of the loss of the destruction of the temple. And the idea of a vow is, it says that vows were taken in order for a person to achieve a greater level of holiness. I'm not going to eat cake, for example, is a type of a vow. Even though vows are discouraged, because if a person violates the vow, it's not just, oops, you know, I didn't mean it. No, it's serious to take a vow. It really is discouraged. But if that's what it's going to take to make a person holy, okay, so any holiness, any addition in holiness is good. A big part of the first part of the portion, Matos, talks about the war against Midian. The Jews really had nothing to do with Midian. They were heading west. Midian is east. The Midianites decided we're going to start chepping on the Jews. We're going to start making their lives miserable. A couple of weeks ago, they hired Bilam the prophet to try and curse them.
they sent out their daughters to entice the Jews to idolatry and promiscuous behavior. And so the Almighty came to Moses and said, Hechaltz me'itachem, send out from yourselves soldiers, which is very different than all other battles that the Jews fought again at this point, because the whole reason why we've been having these censuses in the book of Numbers, hence the name the book of Numbers, is to determine how large the army was. And we know the army was about 600,000 people. Every battle, they would send out 600,000 soldiers. In this battle, they sent out 12,000 soldiers, 1,000 from each tribe, including the tribe of Levi, who was usually left behind. So the tribe of Joseph sent 1,000. Instead of normally it would be the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the Levites would stay home, minding the temple. Here it was 1,000 from each tribe, which is not a lot because Midian was a formidable opponent. They did have an army. Okay, they had Sichon and Og were their protectors, their first line of defense. But they were, you know, well-established as far as armies go. And they were, Moses was told to wipe them out completely. Looking at ourselves, which is what we always do here in the Jewish Hour, that the nations that are mentioned in the Torah, it's not for history. The Torah is not a history book. It's a lesson book. And those nations that are mentioned refer to character traits within ourselves. We played a song before, which was made specifically for this time, that talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. And if you do, then Mashiach gets to come. Because we see that one of the reasons for the destruction, one of the main reasons for the destruction of the Second Temple, was that people were not getting along. We talked today about the divisiveness among Jews, that you have Orthodox and conservative and reform and renewal and humanistic, etc., whatever else there are. But here today, we have, for example, you have something called the West Bloomfield Men's Softball League. And there, every group, every organization in West Bloomfield and around is represented there. They get together, they play. Okay, they have bagels in the morning, and some of them put on tefillin at the coaching of some of the Orthodox groups. 2,000 years ago, there were 24 sects, and they didn't talk to each other. They considered each other not Jewish. That's how bad it was. They wouldn't marry between groups. They wouldn't eat each other's houses. They didn't think the kosher that they kept was good enough. And there was such divisiveness. So here it is in the 3 weeks. We're in the middle of the 3 weeks. The Almighty says, get rid of Midian. Midian is baseless hatred. What do we do with it? Wipe it out. Don't deal with it. Don't make treaties with it. The reason why you're having problems with somebody, there really is, bottom line, no reason. And the Torah, there are commandments, for example, about revenge and taking grudges, and you have those are negative commandments, the positive commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the basic formation of society. This is how society grows, when people get along with each other, people appreciate each other. You might want to say, you have to start with yourself. Look inside yourself and see what about yourself you don't like, change that, and then go start working on helping others. And that might just be what the thing that does it. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said two dozen years ago already, that the world is missing one person to do one act of kindness to another person to bring Mashiach. You be that person. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com. And there, right on the homepage, you'll find a contact link. Contact me. Send me any question, query, criticism, you name it, any topic. I'm good. And if you do it today, sometime after you went to see the Berman exhibit, then I'll probably get to it today because that's what Sunday afternoon, a little bit of downtime, and that's when I usually check my email. And when it's still current and fresh, you'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find archived editions of everything else that Rabbi Finman does. It's all there, hopefully presenting Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. And of course, there's the donation page. We are, Baruch Hashem, thank God, just owing for June and July. It's okay. We're just the middle of July. Things are starting to come in, you know, but we need your help. Our sponsors, yes, they do help. But we have majority, for 21 years, we have been, for the most part, listeners like you supporting the show. So do everybody a favor. Go to your computer. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Choose a number that's already there. Pick your own number. Thank God the universe is filled with numbers. The only numbers you can't use are negative numbers. It doesn't work. The computer just won't process it. And or maybe it'll process it as a positive number. I don't know. I've never tried. But so so go there. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Drop your donation of any amount in an envelope and address that envelope, The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. And I may always make the pledge. If we get July and paid for before the end of July, I don't make the pledge. I don't do this because I'd rather tell a longer story. Speaking of story, in the 1550s in the city of Safat, Israel, there was somebody known as the Vecher. What this person's job was is he would go around and wake up people. They didn't have alarm clocks. He would go around. How he woke up, I don't know. But he would go around. It was his job to wake people up to get to the synagogue on time. And during, like, for example, the 3 weeks, it was customary for people to wake up shortly after midnight and go to the synagogue and mourn the loss of the temple, which has been destroyed at the end of these 3 weeks, and sit and learn and then pray and then go on with their days. It once had the Vecher at that time was a person by the name of Avram Halevi Bruchim. His name was Avram. One day the Arizal came up to him and said, the Arizal, first of all, was a person who could see things that no one else could see. Said to him, I see your days in this world are numbered, and the only hope you have is to travel to Jerusalem and pray at the Western Wall, which is the west of the retaining wall of where the Temple Mount is, where the destroyed temple was. And if you pray fervently enough, you will see the divine presence, and then you will know you will live for another 22 years. So he traveled, this Avram Bruchim, traveled to Jerusalem and prepared himself by fasting for 3 days. The Western Wall at that time wasn't like it was now with a whole plaza, which was 70 feet high, tall wall. No, the Western Wall at that time was probably about 6 or 8 feet high. And it was just a little courtyard that they had because there was houses built up all around it. The Romans made sure that the Western Wall, which they couldn't knock down, would be hidden. And he prayed there, and he looked up towards where the temple would have been, and he saw the divine presence, and he fainted. And he had a dream that he saw the divine presence talking to him and said, yes, because of your piety and encouraging people to go and practice their religion, you will be granted another 22 years. And he woke up, and he traveled back to the city of Safat, which then took probably many hours, if not a couple of days, by donkey or walking even. And if it was walking, it took probably about a week. And when the Arizal saw him, he smiled at him and said, I see that you have seen the divine presence, and your life will be extended. And indeed, this Avram Halevi Bruchim, because of his prayer at the Western Wall, lived 22 years to the day that he traveled to the wall. That's going to do it for us. We hope we're glad you tuned in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Hine Hashem Nitzavah.